This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 19 of the ceasefire after 15 months of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. Despite the ceasefire, Israeli forces still in the south of the Gaza Strip killed two Palestinians in Rafah on Wednesday. A child was shot in the chest by an Israeli sniper in central Rafah, hours after occupation forces opened fire at civilians in eastern Khan Yunus, killing a man. As people continue to return to their homes in the north and the south, the local government and human rights groups say that Israel is not fulfilling its obligations under the ceasefire agreement regarding the entry of necessary humanitarian relief and shelter aid. Access to safe water, especially in the north, is still a daily struggle, and Palestinians are still unable to procure adequate temporary shelters and materials to protect themselves from the winter cold. The Gaza government media office stated on February 3rd that according to the ceasefire protocol, quote, 60,000 caravans and 200,000 temporary tents were supposed to be brought into the Gaza Strip to accommodate the displaced people of our honorable Palestinian people whose homes, housing units, and residential neighborhoods were destroyed by the Israeli occupation. 600 trucks containing aid and fuel are also supposed to enter each day, the media office said, in addition to medical and health services and equipment, quote, necessary to rehabilitate humanitarian services in the Gaza Strip. However, the government media office says the Israeli occupation is creating obstacles and procrastinating in the implementation of this agreement, quote, which exacerbates the humanitarian crisis and doubles the suffering of the civilian population in the Gaza Strip, and this will have serious and unprecedented repercussions and effects. Euromed Human Rights Monitor says that the humanitarian situation has not improved since the ceasefire was implemented on January 19th. In a report, the human rights group says that, quote, nearly all forms of aid remain disrupted, and the urgent humanitarian needs of the Strip's roughly 2.3 million residents have not been met. Though the number of trucks entering the Gaza Strip has increased, Euromed says, their preliminary analysis of the volume and type of aid entering the enclave reveals that some of it are non-essential items. The rights group adds that only about 35% of the 8,500 trucks that have been let in since the ceasefire have been able to enter northern Gaza. Medical devices and essential equipment needed to resume hospital operations, such as MRI machines, have not yet arrived in Gaza. In terms of necessary municipal infrastructure, Euromed Human Rights Monitor says that about 85% of the water wells in Gaza have been destroyed, and Israel has forbidden the importation of supplies to repair and restore them. According to estimates from the Gaza municipality and the northern Gaza Strip municipalities, 100 wells in the northern Gaza Valley need to be restored and repaired immediately. None have been fixed thus far, Euromed says. The health sector, meanwhile, remains in ruins. Izzedine Lulu, a medical student, filmed himself walking through the wreckage of the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, northern Gaza, this week.
Hello everyone, it's Izzedine Lulu, a sixth-year medical student from northern Gaza. This is our first time entering Kamal Adwan Hospital since the Israeli forces raided and occupied this hospital. This is where doctors and medical staff made their last stand, and where patients found refugee away from the bombs of the occupation until it was too late. As you see, there is so much destruction made to the hospital. It will take a lot of time and effort to rebuild. For now, we Gazans are trying to assist how we can move in into rebuilding our beloved Gaza, inshallah.
That was Izzadine Lulu, a sixth-year medical student. Kamal Adwan's director, the pediatrician Hossam Abu Safiya, is still in Israeli detention at the Ofer military prison and continues to be denied access to a lawyer. The Rafah crossing nominally reopened this past week for patients in Gaza needing medical evacuation. The United Nations says that there are between 12,000 and 14,000 patients needing to access care outside of Gaza, but only a few dozen Palestinians have been medically evacuated through the Rafah crossing as of Wednesday. International fugitive and war crimes suspect Benjamin Netanyahu was welcomed to the White House this week, where President Donald Trump asserted that the U.S. will, quote, own Gaza, and claimed that he has plans to ethnically cleanse Palestinians from Gaza while it is rebuilt, similar plans to those asserted by former U.S. President Joe Biden and his Secretary of State Antony Blinken during the 15-month genocide. Palestinian human rights groups and Palestinian civil society have broadly rebuked these statements. The Electronic Intifada's Ali Abu Nima posted on Twitter/X that, quote, there is no plan and, more importantly, no means for an American occupation and annexation of Gaza. Donald Trump will not will into existence what 15 months of unlimited Biden-armed Israeli barbarity failed to produce. The rights group Al-Haq stated on Wednesday that, quote, instead of supporting rebuilding efforts at scale to reconstitute what Israel's genocidal machinery has destroyed, the U.S. administration has announced its clear participation in Israel's genocide in Gaza, the latest plan in the ongoing Nakba, intended to fragment and destroy the Palestinian people and deny Palestinians their inalienable right to self-determination. Al-Haq adds, quote, we emphasize that the only plan that should be on the table following the ceasefire is one that upholds the rights of the Palestinian people of self-determination and return. This entails the rights of the Palestinians in Gaza to choose their own future, remain in their land, and rebuild it. Trump's suggestion of forcible displacement to end the death and destruction in Gaza is telling of the U.S. administration's complicity and direct participation in the genocide. It is further a violation of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, fueling the ongoing Nakba of the Palestinian people. We warn that Trump's administration is a serious threat to not only the Palestinian people, but all of humanity. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of Gaza's poets Never Stopped Writing by Abdullah Yunus, writing from Gaza. Abdullah reports on a poetry reading in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza that took place just a few weeks before the ceasefire. Since October 2023, Abdullah writes, Israel has killed an unknowable number of poets and writers. Estimates of those killed are available, and they vary depending on the source. But the extent of the carnage wrought on Gaza's literary community is something that will never be known. Poet Basil Abu al-Sheikh leaned forward in his chair toward a crowd of about 50 people to recite his poem. It was late December, and we had gathered in this camp west of Deir al-Balah in central Gaza to listen to the works of those poets present. The sun was setting and the tents glowed orange as a cold breeze reminded us of the harshness of displacement in winter. The Israeli occupation planes and drones could be heard above us. Some of those gathered sat on the ground, covering themselves with worn blankets or burlap sacks, while others sat on plastic chairs. Abu al-Sheikh recited his poem in a defiant yet sad tone. The shackles have wounded my heart, not my wrists, and the night has made my eyes sleepless like the stars. Neither tears nor blood are enough, and I no longer know whether my tears or blood have flowed. Abu al-Sheikh, 55, the author of the novel Palestinian Sorrows, was one of several poets who had helped organize the reading. He said he had hoped the gathering would provide a space for expression among the displaced in the camp, something to help them make sense of the long months of horrors inflicted on the Palestinians in Gaza. He said that the poem he read was about his arrest by the Israeli army in December 2023 and his imprisonment for 4 months. At the time, Abu al-Sheikh lived in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza with his family of six. The family had sought shelter at the Kam Al Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, further north, during Israeli bombings. Yet Abu al-Sheikh was arrested from the hospital and would not be released from Israeli imprisonment until March 2024. While in prison, Abu al-Sheikh was tortured mentally and physically, yet the worst of it still awaited him. Upon his release, he was prevented from returning to his family by the Israeli military and was forced to head south. There, he learned that his eldest son had been killed in an Israeli airstrike in January 2024. Since then, Abu al-Sheikh has lived in the camp, in a tent, alone. Poets and writers give people hope and encourage them to endure the tragedies of war, he said. That's an excerpt from Abdullah Yunus's feature, Gaza's Poets Never Stopped Writing, on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, dozens of Palestinians have been killed in the northern city of Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp as Israel's raid and siege of the area entered its third consecutive week. Raids and assaults by Israeli forces in nearby towns and villages have also expanded. In Tulkarem, Israeli attacks have displaced approximately 75% of Palestinians from their homes in the Tulkarem refugee camp, while Israeli forces have prevented the entry of medicine, food, and essential supplies, according to local officials. My colleague Tamara Nassar reports that, quote, the Israeli military carried out several aerial bombardments in densely populated civilian areas and caused widespread destruction of infrastructure and homes across Jenin camp that Reuters said was, quote, on a scale not seen there for over 20 years. Israeli troops bulldozed all the roads leading to Jenin refugee camp and the city, as well as a number of roads within them. The vast majority of camp residents have been displaced under Israeli orders, some of them even searched and arrested on the way out of the camp. The Palestinian human rights group Al-Haq stated that the remaining families are living in grave danger with no access to water, electricity, and other basic services. At least 150 homes in Jenin have been severely damaged by the Israeli attack, according to the UN. Tamara adds that on February 1st, the Israeli military razed nearly two dozen buildings in simultaneous bombings. Juliet Tuma from the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, said that the detonations happened, quote, when children were supposed to go back to school. She added that 13 schools in the camp and nearby areas are shuttered, affecting 5,000 children. The UN agency's services in the camp have been interrupted for months and had to be completely halted in early December during the assault by the Palestinian Authority. UNRWA apparently had no warning of the detonations, as there is no longer contact between its staff and the Israeli military since Israel shuttered the agency's operations last month. The Wall Street Journal reported that the bombings resembled a tactic used in Gaza, where the Israeli military created corridors to divide the enclave. An Israeli attack decapitated a 14-year-old boy in Jenin on the same day, Tamara reports. A missile that Israel fired from a drone without warning killed Ahmad Abdul Hakim Saadi while he was in the courtyard outside his family's home, according to a field investigation by Defense for Children International Palestine. There was no presence of Israeli troops in the immediate area at the time. Israeli forces have killed at least 11 Palestinian children in the West Bank since the start of the year, 7 by drone strikes and 4 others by live ammunition. This toll does not include 3 Palestinian children killed during the Palestinian Authority's raid on the Jenin refugee camp, which started in the first week of December and concluded in January. For more on the situation in Jenin, read Tamara Nassar's report, Israeli Genocidal Violence Reaches West Bank, on electronicintifada.net. And in the southern occupied West Bank, meanwhile, heavily armed Israeli settlers have attacked areas including Masafer Yatta near Al-Khalil. Activist, journalist, and filmmaker Basil Adra filmed the settler attack in Masafer Yatta on Monday evening. He stated that the settlers smashed and destroyed Palestinians' cars, attacked homes, and damaged water tanks. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share people expressing determination and resilience in the aftermath of Israel's 15-month campaign of destruction. In northern Gaza, a man responds to Donald Trump's absurd claims about Gaza. Quote, "They're saying that Trump wants to forcibly displace Gaza's people," he says. "Gaza's people here are digging a well, and they are rebuilding Gaza from scratch. I swear you have your work cut out for you with Gazawis, and you're in for a long ride. You're in for a long ride," he says. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.